This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:42 in the evening. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Kelvin. So we've been talking really quite a lot about the change in government, about all the goings on. And over the past few days, we've also heard a lot of analysis on the new Perikatan National Government from constitutional lawyers, NGOs, political analysts. People have weighed in on social media and right here on our station as well.
Yeah, but now that some of the dust has settled, we thought we'd hear from the politicians themselves on both sides of the political divide. But before we cross over to them, I guess one thing that's on my mind is how stable this coalition actually is now that it's in power.
Yeah, I mean, there are questions about the stability of coalitions, I think, on both sides. It's not just the people who are in power, but the people who now find themselves in the position of being, I suppose, back on the opposition bench. You know, whether or not things have changed, whether or not people are going to be looking at one another differently, how the different parties relate to each other. I mean, we haven't even actually touched that much today on what's going on in Bersatu. And there's plenty, you know, because there are huge divides happening within that one party itself. So I think in terms of stability and change, we're seeing that happen across the political spectrum. And even in terms of sort of pulling together a government right now, we haven't heard any announcements on that as yet. I expect that that will happen this week. But there remains a lot that is up in the air. There remains a lot that has changed, and we don't know how permanently or even in what form it has changed. There's a lot of unknowns still.
Yeah, and what is it going to take to sort of make coalitions like these perhaps more stable or at least perhaps working a bit more closely, like, because right now we're seeing some think pieces emerge saying that, oh, you know, the previous administration couldn't quite get it together, and that's why it's so fractious, and that's why we are where we are today. And at the same time, currently, there doesn't seem to be an easy working relationship as well, right? Because, you know, there isn't quite a steady or united policy direction. There isn't quite so much like a manifesto. But again, a manifesto, even with the previous administration, that didn't quite hold them as strongly together as well. So I don't really quite know what that linchpin will be.
So we thought that we'd hear from people who have actually been in the midst of all of this. So with us on the line, we have two guests. We are going to be speaking with Dr. Ashraf Wajdi Dusuki, UMNO Youth Chief, as well as YB Fahmi Fadzil, MP for Lembah Pantai, also the Communications Director at PKR. If you have questions for either of them, you can, of course, send them our way. WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Call us at 7733-2900 and tweet us at BFM Radio. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Thank you.
Okay, so I'd like to know, I guess, how you're both feeling about the current situation. Dr. Ashraf, maybe we'll start with you.
Well, assalamu alaikum, a very good evening to everyone. Actually, if you ask me what is my feeling at the moment, of course, it was really a challenging emotionally due to the fluidity of the situation, last week's situation. But again, I've been praying hard to Allah that we need to arrive at a conclusion, as the rakyat are watching and slowly become annoyed to us, the politician. However, what we should be very grateful is to have such a fair and wise Yang di-Pertuan Agong during this horrendous political turmoil, while politicians from all sides seem to have failed the rakyat. But after a careful discussion and consideration, Yang di-Pertuan Agong has finally decided. So I think this turmoil could have been avoided if everyone could just be patient until the next election instead of pressuring Tun Mahathir from the day one Pakatan Harapan came to power, asking and pressuring Tun Mahathir to set the date for the transfer of power to happen. So yeah, I'm relieved.
Fahmi, how would you respond?
It's been particularly tiring, I think, for a while. I think a lot of people forgot that we have this situation with COVID-19. But someone commented that despite the political uncertainty, a lot of people felt that, you know, life was quite normal. No one created much of a ruckus. So we have to thank the police, yeah, for maintaining order throughout that past week plus. At the same time, I think there's a question of representation. Those who betrayed their parties or, you know, were called traitors or pengkhianat, I think obviously people are going to be watching them. You know, I don't know how how people are going to respond to them, their voters going to respond to them when they go back to their kawasan or their respective constituencies. But I think what we're seeing right now is still, I think, quite an unstable situation. I don't know how stable it is. We have to test the confidence that the Prime Minister has in Parliament, but it appears to be some delay to the first session of Parliament this year. And when you look at it, the reality is we have probably the weakest government in history of Malaysia, with maybe about 114 members, whereas we might have one of the strongest opposition in Malaysian parliamentary history, with, you know, at least 108 members. So I think if at any one time three members from the government side were to not be there or to vote with the opposition, you know, that could spell disaster for the ruling party. And that's not even talking about cabinet positions and other types of ghanimah or spoils of war, so to speak.
Right. Just on that note, right, you know, earlier this evening, actually just now, we talked about party hopping and how there are many voters who feel betrayed by certain MPs who left Pakatan Harapan. Fahmi, starting with you, do you think there should be anti-party hopping laws?
Yeah, I'm actually in favour of it. We've seen, for example, how, you know, with PKR MPs, you know, many of us signed these declarations saying that if we were to ever leave the party, then we would have to pay a certain sum. Of course, it remains to be seen whether we will pursue that through the courts. I mean, I leave it to the party leadership to make a decision. But I think something tougher might be expected from the people. I don't know whether the reformist credentials of this new administration can be tested. It remains to be seen. I don't know what their priorities are. They have no manifesto. They have no plan. I don't know what their plans are. And one of the biggest fears I have is for media freedom. I don't know how that's going to turn out.
And Dr. Ashraf, you know, do you think there should be anti-party hopping laws?
I'm always for high-level democratic culture and institutions. Anti-hopping laws, it's welcome. But why stop there when you can do more? Previous BN government did initiate the Political Financing Act as part of democratic reforms. Perhaps we should revisit that also. Whatever it is, I must say it must be based on the principle of ensuring that the rakyat's interests must be well protected. And we have to stop all these unnecessary political power struggles within the parties or outside the parties. Because I think what we face today is something which should and can be avoided, as I mentioned earlier, because as we all know, the fall of Pakatan Harapan government was due to their own internal power struggles. The people have voted for them to govern the country, and instead of governing the country, they are fighting internally who should be the next prime minister. This greed and madness of two political titans of this country who believe this country belongs to them, because Tun Mahathir actually never going to give the position to Anwar. And Anwar can't wait any longer because he believes that the Prime Minister's position is like his birthright. Eventually, the whole government collapsed. So I think if only the politicians can stop thinking about the power struggle and start thinking about how to actually rebuild this nation together.
So I suppose on that note, I mean, we're waiting for an announcement of cabinet. You know, we don't yet know who is going to be next in these positions. But while we wait, what do you think should be the priorities of the new government? Maybe Fahmi, you can start us off on this one.
First is the economy. Secondly, it's dealing with COVID-19. Of course, yesterday there was this news about a former minister and former deputy minister who were very much had interacted with COVID-19 patient number 26. And this is quite worrying because both figures had mingled with their respective party leaders, and you know, there's all these questions about where, you know, how far this may go. I don't want to you know, insinuate any or you know, be part of any scaremongering, but I think we do need to pay particular attention. I think the DG of Health has been doing a fantastic job of holding the fort, but we do need to see cabinet members named urgently. But therein lies the question. Today we saw Zahid Hamidi telling court that he has to skip court for the day, but apparently PMO released a statement. There was no such meeting. So I think there's a lot of very interesting political power play. And I calculated, you know, if there was 26 or 30 seats in cabinet, what you're going to see is another kind of power play where people are going to say, who's going to be deputy prime minister? Who's going to hold what position? Those who jumped, are they going to get anything? And it's going to be quite an exciting, terrifying, nerve-wracking week for those people who I think they feel they've paid the price, and now they want their share of the loot, so to speak.
And Dr. Ashraf, what do you think should be the priorities of the new government?
Yeah, I share the same sentiment like my brother Wadif Swami Fadil. I think the new government need to quickly restore the confidence of the rakyat, especially the investors, to our economy. Because ever since Pakatan Harapan government took over, we have seen a lot of issues pertaining to uncertainties, especially when the previous government Pakatan Harapan ministers has sent a wrong signal to the investors, saying that we are a country that is going to go bust because of the 1 trillion debt and so on and so forth. So this has created a sentiment which is not positive, which is not good to the country. And many of the investors has actually shy away from our country. And it was reported that our Bursa Malaysia has accumulated a loss of more than 300 billion for the past 21 months. And during this political turmoil alone, it was reported that we have lost 43 billion. And this is very serious in the wake of the world economic that actually facing a recession due to the coronavirus and so on. So these are the things which I really feel that the government needs to be stabilized. We have to put aside political power struggling just for a while. Let us just focus on how to make sure our economy can be revived. And we hope that the new government proceed with the stimulus package and do not politicize it because the rakyat need it. Any changes on the stimulus package could be done in stages. And we have to actually look at the effect of coronavirus on our economy, especially the service sector, i.e. the tourism. So all these factors lead us to one similar objective. We need to make sure that our country remain harmony, remain stable, and be focused on how to make sure that we can revive the economy.
And Fahmi, what are PKR's priorities now that it's in the opposition?
I think we are still focused on issues faced by the rakyat. I think we will play the role of the loyal opposition steadfastly. This is very important because the expectation is for checks and balances to be present in this parliament. Had we gone with a unity government proposal, I'm not sure whether that might be possible because everybody will be on the same side. In this case, for us, it's always to make sure that, you know, I think when Dr. Mazli Malik, for example, mentioned that he sat with this group of people and then first he supported Tan Sri Muhyiddin and then he came back to Tun Mahathir, I think that is indicative of the kind of political climate that we're in, where those who lost in the last elections are coming back. And we know those of us who have been in ministries, having seen all the kind of, you know, we had to fix so much. that was caused by these people, and now they're back. And so we must be ever more vigilant to make sure that none of those kind of shenanigans take place again. We may not be able to, I don't know how effective that can be, but I think the rakyat is paying full attention. At the same time, for PKR, we are going through a so-called cleansing process. Those who were traitors, those who betrayed the struggle, they will either leave on their own or will be removed from the party. Discipline must be reinforced. And I think we'll come out leaner, stronger, with a clearer vision about serving the rakyat.
And we just have a little bit of time left. Dr. Ashraf, we have a question from a listener who would like to know, what would be, you know, the manifesto of Perikatan Nasional?
Actually, we don't have any manifesto because this is not... Perikatan Nasional is the very newly coined term which has yet to be discussed and at a high level leadership of all parties. We only have Muafakat Nasional and Barisan Nasional. And as everyone aware, that we supported Tan Sri Muhyiddin just to make sure the government can be stabilized after the collapse of Pakatan Harapan government due to them, due to their power internal power struggle. So we have to make sure that the country remains stable. And we are grateful to Yang di-Pertuan Agong for... I mean, for his decision to avoid calling for a snap election due to many factors. Therefore, we agreed on supporting Tan Sri Muhyiddin. But this is not, I mean, we, at least at the youth level, we never regard this as a win. I mean, a true win, because this is just a battle. We are still focusing on the real war, which is the GE15. That's why, I mean, in order for us to really gain a victory in during GE15, we need to get the confidence of the rakyat. And how to get that? Of course, we need to come up with a viable plan and direction. What kind of government that we are going to offer to the people? And this has yet to be discussed, because what happened is something which is, which we never imagined that it can happen, mm-hmm. like what happened last week. So that's why, what we have to focus now is to make sure that rakyat need to be prioritized in whatever agenda that we are currently in.
Unfortunately, we have run out of time. There are loads more questions that we wanted to ask. But gentlemen, thank you both so much for joining us this evening.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
That was Datuk Dr. Ashraf Wajdi Dusuki, UMNO Youth Chief, as well as YB Fahmi Fazil, MP for Lembah Pantai, as well as PKR Communications Director, both weighing in on the political situation in the country. We're going to head to the news. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.